you're not doing anything on the 4th of July, you're more than welcome to join our church. We'll have a church picnic over at the Briningsville Park there. It's a wonderful area for children to play, and two sand volleyball courts and a horseshoe pit, a pavilion, a grill, a little baseball field. We could play softball or kickball, basketball courts, all that good stuff. And we'll get it a little bit better organized as we get closer to it. We'll have a couple of sign-up sheets for some things. But I encourage you to plan on being with us on July the 4th. If you don't already have plans, come on out and be with us. And I hear, as we talked about last week, I hear the Briningsville fireworks are really, really good fireworks. That's what I've heard from Brian. And Brian said that Kelly said that.
They're amazing, but they're not typically on July 4th.
Oh, they're not on July 4th?
Yeah, normally like a couple days after.
Oh, well, I don't want to stay there that long.
I can recommend that if you can, you can go to these fireworks.
So if you can do that, otherwise, another good place to go to is Cedar Beach. Put out some lawn chairs and enjoy it, or go wherever you want to go. Go home and burn your house down with fireworks. You can do that too. Whatever works for you. Just don't get arrested. That would not be good because I am not bailing you out. I'll give you gospel tracts to hand out while you're in there. John chapter 2. Brother Frable read for us the first 9 verses. I'm sure you may have heard about this story in the past. I titled the message today, 3 Attributes of a Godly Mom. 3 Attributes of a Godly Mother. Now, let me say, you might think, well, I'm not a mother, so I'm going to catch up on my afternoon nap right now. All these attributes will apply to everybody, but we're going to look at them through the lens of some mothers in the Bible, but all of these is something that I believe every Christian ought to have. I believe they're very, very important, but we're going to deal specifically with moms today and talk about that. Let's open with a word of prayer. Again, Lord, as we come to you, we're so grateful for the opportunity to be here today, Lord, for the freedoms that we can still enjoy. Father, for the freedom we have to come here and open up the Word of God, sing songs to honor you, to glorify you, Lord, to preach the eternal Word. Father, we're not here to entertain, but Father, we're here to learn from the Word of God and draw closer to you and enjoy good, godly fellowship with fellow believers. Lord, I pray that we would gain some knowledge and some wisdom today, Lord, from this passage to draw closer to you, to be used of you, to be a better testimony, a better example in our communities, in our families, at our work. Lord, I just pray that, Father, if there's someone here today that does not know you as their personal Savior, there's never been a time in their life when they put their complete faith and trust in you, your death, burial, and resurrection. Father, today they would do that. Father, we know it's not our works, our good deeds. It's not a church, it's not a denomination that saves us, Father, but it's putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and His shed blood. Lord, I pray if nobody's done that, they would not leave here today without have given their life to you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Many of you have been or are still being blessed with a godly mother. There are those, maybe your mom has since passed away. Brother Glenn, his testimony, shared about his mother. His mother, Miss Anna, was a sweet, sweet lady. She loved the Lord. She did not play around. That's where Brother Glenn gets it from. Mrs. Ziegler did not play around. She was serious about the things of God. Many of us are fortunate to still have our mothers with us. It is a absolute blessing for me to be able to serve with my mom in church here. Serve together. As I was in my office this morning to hear her teaching the lesson to the children and going over Bible verses and working and helping them and learning different things. And she's been doing that since I was a kid. And to see her still doing that, her faithfulness is absolutely exemplary. The Bible is full of wonderful mothers. If we were to go through our Bible, we could read about Hannah and the Bible who prayed for a child and was given Samuel. And when she was given Samuel, she turned around and dedicated him right back to God. Samuel being one of the great prophets of the Bible. There was Timothy's mother and grandmother who shared her faith with her son, as 1 Timothy talks about, and he became a pillar of faith in the Word of God. There was Moses' mother. Now I know those of you in my mother's class have been learning, who is Moses' mother? What's her name? You can yell it out.
Mom.
Mom. What's Moses' mother's name? Thank you. Not even in Mrs. Majors' class, and they yelled it out. Mom, I guess you got some work to do next week. I heard them all say this morning, they all got stage fright. Moses' mother. Moses' mother. You don't even know Austin. Oh, you didn't teach them Moses' mother's name? I thought I just heard you say that this morning. Yeah, it's all the candy you're giving them. That's what it is. Now you're in drill sergeant's class. You guys are in trouble next week. You're not getting any candy. I can already see this coming up. You'll be lined up against the wall. Jochebed. Yes, Mrs. Mathers, we are so sorry. Moses' mother, Jochebed, who floated her own son down the Nile to save his life, and Pharaoh's daughter got him and gave him back to Moses' mother to raise him. And I would go all through the Bible, wonderful, wonderful mothers. But today I want to see, what is it that causes some mothers to stand out from the rest? What is it that makes a mom more than just a mom, but makes her a godly mom? Makes her a godly mother. What attributes can we find in these godly mothers that make them unique? Make them special. It ought to be the desire, it ought to be the goal of every mother here today to not just be a mom, but to be a godly mom. Godly children are raised by godly parents. As I searched the scriptures quickly, I found three specific attributes. There are others, but three that I kind of honed in on that I want to give you today that I think are very, very unique, very important attributes that I think every godly mother, or what makes a godly mother, and that they need to have. A godly mom, number one, has a discerning spirit. A godly mom has a discerning spirit. In the passage that we just read, we see in verse number 3 that the mother of Jesus says unto Jesus, they have no wine, and Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Discernment. A discerning mother. Calling on the Holy Spirit to lead or give direction on a matter. To be able to see things through a spiritual lens that maybe your children or your husband or somebody else doesn't necessarily see it. But we could use the word intuition. My wife just has an intuition or a discerning spirit about things that I may not see. That she'll say, hey, just, you know, don't know if you noticed this or saw this or not, but just want to mention this to you. And it's like, wow, I didn't even think about that. I didn't even see that. That discernment. It's how the Holy Spirit shows the church or the people of the church what God wants them to do or what God wants them to be. The ability to grasp what might be a little bit obscure. That not everybody just notices. And in our passage here, Jesus has not yet revealed himself to anyone as a miracle worker. He hadn't performed a miracle as of yet in this passage. Nobody knows he can do anything except for his mother. So how does she know that? She'd not seen Jesus perform any miracles, but she had a discerning spirit about her son. She knew something about him. And when Jesus says to her in verse number 4, my hour is not yet come, she doesn't discuss it with her son. She doesn't argue with him, you need to do this for me. Instead, she goes over to the servants and she tells them, whatever he tells you to do, do it. There's some discernment in there. Just reading that, not thinking about it, it's a little bit of a weird conversation. But yet she knew something that nobody else knew. We know that she knew that he was the Son of God. But yet she has the discernment to go to the servants and say, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. Mary had discerned in her heart that Jesus would honor her request. I can't tell you growing up how many times that I put together some elaborate stories to get myself out of trouble. But no matter what story I came up with, and I mean, I could get the straight face, I could, you know, I could work on the story and hone it down, but it's amazing my mom could see right through that story. And figure, you know what? something you're telling me doesn't add up. And I would think to myself, how in the world does she know this? I mean, I had this thing locked up good. She knew it. I'll tell you how she knew it. She had a discerning spirit. There's been a joke for years with the teenagers in the church and now many of the young adults that were teenagers. Don't think you can hide it from pastor. He's going to find out sooner or later anyway. And they'd always say, how does he find these things out? And I still always say, God told me what you did. And then they'd freak out. No, it's just discernment. How many times has your parent called you, whether you're, I don't care how old you are, you've all had parents, how many times has your parent called you right when you needed them to call you? Or spoke those words right when you needed them to speak those words? Or uplifted you or given you that counsel that maybe you weren't even necessarily asking for, but they said it in such a way that you just got to step back and be like, wow, that was weird. That's discernment. That's discernment. How do I know if I have discernment? How can we tell if we have discernment? Well, it's governed by love or it's worthless. The comments that we make as parents, the comments that maybe as mothers that the moms want to say to their children, think about what you're saying and make sure that it's governed by love. A discerning spirit is somebody who's going to say something. It doesn't necessarily mean you like what they say or you want to hear what they say, but you know that it's coming from a heart of love. That, you know what, I may not agree with what I'm being told, but I know that they want what's best for me and they love me. How do I know if I have discernment? If it centers on Jesus Christ and His Word. Too much philosophy going on nowadays. Too many talk shows running our families. Turn off Oprah. Turn off Dr. Phil. God help us if you're watching Maury or Jerry Springer. You need more than to turn them off. You need to get right with God. That's the trash of our society. That people would actually watch that. Sad. But a discerning mama takes what she has to say and says, let's look at what God says about this. Let's look at what the Bible says. How do I know if I have discernment? It directs us to Scripture, not away from it. I don't want any moms to give counsel that's contrary to the Word of God. That's not what a godly mom does. A godly mom says, let's make sure that we have God's counsel on this situation. Godly advice. How do I know if I have discernment? It builds up the Lord's work. It builds up the members, giving the church power, wisdom, character, boldness, and unity. A godly mom that's a part of a Bible-believing church isn't the type of mom that sows discord among one another. Isn't the kind that sits around and gossips. Doesn't have roast preacher on the way home for lunch. But is one that uplifts and helps and edifies and encourages. And finds the good in people, not the bad in them. A discerning spirit helps create in us a love of righteousness. A heightened sense of sin. And a desire to turn away from evil that might pull us down. Moms, you have a full-time job when you're dealing with your children to be able to govern them and control them and direct them in the ways of God's Word. Hey, we're living in a society that wants to destroy the family.
Mom, reach out.
And there ought to be some moms that say, not on my watch.
Amen.
Not on my watch. Some hints, if you will, that confirm discernment. A chance encounter with just the right person. A persistent growing thought or conviction. Something from the Bible seems to always come to mind when you need it to. Something said in a conversation that just kind of sticks in your mind. An opportunity suddenly opens up. It bites back, becoming harder to stop the more you or anyone else tries to hold back. Those are some hints that would confirm discernment. I read this quote and I think it's wonderful. God never gives us discernment in order that we may criticize, but that we may intercede. Let me say that again. God never gives us discernment in order that we may criticize, but that we may intercede. If I see something that maybe somebody isn't understanding or living or doing in a biblical way, discernment doesn't cause me to criticize them for that. Discernment causes me to intercede and help them and pray for them and encourage them to do it the right way. Not to tear them down. Let me give you a simple explanation or a simple illustration. You know, when you've had smaller children and they start coloring, they tend to hold on to the crayon like this, and they tend to just go, and it's all over the paper, it's all over the lines. Now, if you wanted to be honest, but a jerk, you'd say, you know, that's a horrible job. That is horrible. You color in the lines. You don't scribble. What in the world is that? Chicken scratch. That's not showing much discernment. But when you sit down and say, you did a beautiful job. You tried your hardest. Can mama help you with this? Can daddy help you with this? And you sit down and show them how to hold the crown and how to edge and how to color in. It's a simple illustration, but that's a discerning spirit. I'm going to find a way to not put them down for what they're doing, but encourage them, kind of steer them in the right direction. Many years ago, I was coaching basketball. Ariel, you were on the team. I don't know if Raymond was on the team. You were on the junior. You were on the
championship team.
Yeah. You're right. But we met at the boys club over in Pembroke, and I had the JV and varsity combined for practice, and they're all running around there like they're Michael Jordan Jr., throwing up these crazy shots and everything. And so I watched for a few minutes, and I said, okay, it's time for layup drills. Everyone get in line, let's start doing layups. Well, everyone on the team is right-handed. So they went to what they knew how to do. They all went to their right hand. I said, whoa, stop. Everybody left-handed layups. Not one person on the team, outside of my brother at the time, could do a left-handed layup. They looked deformed. They're jumping off their wrong foot. They just look all weird. And not hitting the backboard, missing the rim. Just horrible. And I taught them, I said, you are a complete basketball player when you can use both hands. One of the greatest challenges, I played basketball growing up, loved it, would play every day. My father put a basketball hoop out in the yard, and I thought I was good enough to take on my father. And I said, ready to take you on, Pop? He goes, you sure? I said, I'm sure. I was like 9th, 10th grade. I said, I'm ready, let's do it. He said, okay. He came outside. He was already put on his basketball shoes. We went outside. Man, I was all pumped. I was going to put a whooping on my father in basketball. And I had the basketball, and he checked it to me, and he went, before we play, let me ask you a question. I said, yes, sir. He goes, can you make a right-handed layup? I'm left-handed. I said, no, sir. He goes, can you shoot with your right hand? I said, no, sir. He goes, are you good at dribbling with your right hand? I said, no, sir. He took the basketball, he put it on the ground, and he goes, you're half a basketball player. Come see me when you're a full basketball player. You know what I did for weeks and weeks and weeks? Never used my left hand. Everything with my right hand. And so these boys, they started doing the left hand. They couldn't make it. But you know what? I didn't rip on them, tell them they're good for nothing, garbage basketball players. No, we worked at it. By 5 practices into the season, man, we had layup drills going both sides with nobody missing. See, discernment is not just seeing the wrong, correcting it in a loving way, teaching way, helping way. It bugs me when I'm out in society and I see parents flip out on their kids. The way their kids behave, and I think to myself, they behave like that because you missed something along the way. Don't blame the kids. I've always said there's no such thing as illegitimate children, it's illegitimate parents. Parents need to take the time to raise their children. So a godly mom has discernment. Number two, a godly mom has determination. Go back to the book of Matthew, chapter number 20. Matthew, chapter number 20. Matthew, chapter 20. A godly mom has determination. Matthew 20, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. Determination. A firm or fixed intention to achieve a desired end. Determination is something that helps you to remain consistent during obstacles, during trying times, during troubles. Here, her two sons are James and John. And the mother of James and John was determined to get the best for her grown sons. It didn't matter if it was going to embarrass them. It didn't matter if her request was going to make the other 10 disciples angry at her two sons. I mean, it's kind of a bold request. Hey, Jesus, when you get to heaven, can my two boys sit on either side of you? I mean, we think, oh, you know, what an arrogant, no, that's a mom who loved her children and wanted what was best for them, and she was determined. It didn't matter, even if her request could have angered Jesus, she wanted to get the best for her children. After all, nobody deserved better than her children. I appreciate moms who love their children enough to want the best for them. When I said the best, I don't mean the brand new Jordans or gotta get the latest, you know, phone or get this guy. That's not what I'm talking about the best in raising them with integrity and character.
Right.
Teaching them respect and honor. The mother of Moses was determined that her child wasn't gonna be killed, along with all the other Jewish babies at that time. She was determined that she was going to do what she needed to do so that Moses would be spared that fate. That's determination. That's determination right there. How many mothers in this room have sacrificed for their children because you've determined to give your children the best? You go without so your children can go with. I know my mom didn't always get to do what she wanted to do, so that I could get to do what she thought I needed to do. I know there were times that my parents made sacrifice so I could go away to a conference or a camp where the Lord could work on my heart. How many mothers are determined that their children will not have to go through the hardships that they endure when they had children? It's amazing the love of a mom. Special mothers, godly mothers, also just as determined to impart her faith to her child.
Amen.
Hey, if you're a godly mom, I hope you're praying for your children's salvation.
Yes.
I picked up Daisy, don't want to embarrass her, but on the way here, Daisy said, I'm waiting for the day when my son raises his hand because he's ready to acknowledge Jesus Christ as his Savior.
Amen.
I pray for that. All of our children, from the time they were born, it was a time for me on a regular basis where I would pray for God to save them and to use them for His glory. Regularly praying for my children. I know that my mom, when me and my siblings were born, that she prayed for God to use us for His work. You want to be a godly mama? Be determined to pray for your children that the faith that you have is imparted to them. But hey, mom, listen to me. You got to have that faith too.
Right. That's it.
You got to have that faith too. That determined mom is going to pray that her children make the right decisions and choose the right friends. They're going to make sure that their child is reading their Bible and saying their prayers. There's nothing that does this dad's heart good to hear that my children are learning Scripture. Sunday school teachers are teaching them Scripture and they're learning the Word of God. And mom's teaching them the Bible during the week and it's part of their everyday learning. Hey, having godly children just doesn't happen by bringing them to church on a Sunday. Having godly children means sometime tomorrow when you're with your kids, you sit down and you read some of the Bible to them and you start teaching them some Bible verses and you start singing some Bible songs with them. You impart that in their lives. That's what godly mamas do. They are determined that the world and the devil is not going to get my child.
That's true, man of God. Amen.
There's enemies that you're going to face when it comes to determination. There's fearful giants. There's faithless men. There's fierce foes and furtive friends and failures of the past. There's people, there's places, there's things, there's examples, there's incidences, there's even family members who are going to be there to try to get you to steer your children away from God. Ah, why do you gotta be so strict on your children? Why do you gotta be so forceful? Why do you gotta take them to church all the time? Good night. Isn't one church service enough? I always get a kick out of that. People will buy season's passes to watch their team, but to go to church for more than 2 hours a week is overdoing it. Giving God 2 hours out of 168. Overdoing it. Thirdly, godly mama is deliberate. Deliberate. Let's look at a couple passages of Scripture here to lay the foundation. Go back to Proverbs chapter 22. I want to show you three verses here quickly. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, look at verse number 6. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. A godly mom is deliberate. I'm going to take the time to train my children according to the Word of God. Look, I'm not going to pass it on to somebody else. I love all our Sunday school teachers and junior church teachers and young adult teachers. I appreciate all the investment in the children's activities. But you know what? It's not their job alone to train my children. It's not the church's job just alone to train your children. It's your job. And you ought to be deliberate about it. In other words, there ought to be a plan. I'm not just going to wing raising my children. No, I want to be deliberate about what I do. I want to be deliberate about our prayer time. I want to be deliberate about learning the Word of God and the education that they're getting biblically. You're in Proverbs 22. Go over to chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31 is a wonderful chapter in the Bible that talks about a virtuous woman. I want you to notice a couple things about some attributes of this virtuous woman that the Bible talks about in chapter 31. Look at verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. Skip down to verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. In the Greek, that means she doesn't sit on Facebook all day. It doesn't really mean that in the Greek. It actually would be Hebrew. But it doesn't mean it there either. I made that up. It means she doesn't sit and watch dirt operas all day. Her responsibility and her focus is her family, and she's deliberate in raising them, and she's focused on that, and she's set on that, and she's not going to let exterior circumstances come into her life and get her off of her game of taking care of and raising godly children. You say, well, what's their response when a woman is like that? Look at verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. That's a godly mom right there. She's deliberate about what she does. Let me show you one more verse all the way over in the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. 1 Timothy in chapter 5. Look at verse 14. 1 Timothy 5:14. The Bible says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. It's a little three-word phrase in there. Guide the house. Guide the house. What is that? That means you have a deliberate mindset where you are making sure that the wrong influences stay out of your house. So that's the husband's job. That's partly the husband's job, but God put it down there as your job to guide the house. When we talk about being deliberate, we mean to think about something before ever reaching a decision. We hear in court cases how the jury goes away for a time of deliberation. Thinking, processing, making it all make sense, trying to make sure that they're going to make the right decision. They don't leave raising the children to their church or to the school or to their child's friends. You know what's raising our young people in today's society? Music, TV, public school, and their friends. And then you wonder why they're the mess that they're in. It's mom's job to raise that child, and she's going to take her job seriously and be deliberate about it. A godly mom is deliberately going to go about instilling the values and the character and the morals that a child needs to be spiritually successful. Yeah. I've been taking my daughter the last couple of times my boys have been playing their baseball games. My daughter's been going with me, and we sit on the bleachers and we eat sunflower seeds together. I've taught her how to spit them out of her mouth. Drink some Gatorade. She's not real good at it yet. She just sits there and chews the whole shell and everything now. It's easier than cracking it in half and shooting the shell out. But there's a little boy that is also playing. She's there to see one of the girls there, and they play. And there's this little boy who oftentimes gets very aggressive. And the one time I turned around and he had her in a bear hug from behind. And I don't care what any parent thinks. Don't mess with my kids. I don't care if you're playing. That's my daughter. Keep your hands off of her. She's not ever going to be touched by a boy until she's 84.
Oh my God. Amen.
My poor daughter is in for the time of her life. And I jumped up and I ran over. I said, get your hands off her now. And he stopped. I said, don't ever put your hands on a girl. Do you understand me? Amen. I don't even know what the kid's name is. Brad. No, I don't know what his name is. Okay. And then just this last, they were under the bleachers playing games with five or six kids, and I saw him, had my daughter by the shoulders again, and I went way under the bleachers, and I said, yo! He went, I forgot, I'm sorry, I forgot! When she gets a little older, I'm going to teach her how to do a roundhouse kick.
Amen.
No, it's mom's job. Hey, go about instilling values and character and morals. Teach them at home. Teach your children. Hey, if you got time to watch TV, you have time to teach your children. Look at how, you would be surprised, and dads, you're worse at this than moms are. You gotta push your kids off to the side and leave everything up to mom to take care of. Teach your children some character. Some morality. It bugs me. Today's society, we think it's cute when 2, 3, 4, 5 year olds curse. You're not gonna think it's cute when they're 14 and they're doing it to you.
Yeah.
Well, they'll knock them out. It's your fault they did it in the first place. Knock yourself out.
That's right.
stupid show tiaras and toddlers. God help us. I wonder why our society is going the way that it is. No morality. I mean, shows about 16 and pregnant and teen moms and high school moms and all that other kind of stuff. And I'm not trying to be harsh. God's grace on all of them. And they can get saved and live with the Lord. And we've seen people here serve God with their lives that made horrible decisions. But you know what? It's our responsibility. Let's start training our young people and let's quit letting the world do it. Parents, we only have a window of a few years to raise our children. I look out and see Grayson's going to be 13 years old in 2 months. What in the world happened? He's got the whole cracking voice thing going on. It's hilarious. He went to talk to Trayton the other day. He went, "Hello, Trayton." I was laughing so hard. Poor guy. Man, I'm thinking at most 4 years, 5 years, and he's in the house till I kick him out. Get out. Here's your suitcase. Get a job. Parents, if you don't take advantage of the time you have, you're not going to raise them. The street's going to raise them.
Yeah, come on.
They may live under your roof. They may eat your food. But here's the problem. They're taking orders and direction from somewhere else.
Yeah.
It is not the TV's, it is not Dora the Explorer's job to raise my children. Or any other show that's on TV. The great preacher G. Campbell Morgan came from a family of preachers. Several of his brothers were preachers as well. One day he was asked, "Who's the greatest preacher in your family?" His brothers, uncles. He said, "My mom. My mom is." What he was saying was that his mother was deliberate in how she raised him. Let me end with just a warning. Just a warning. Your influence on your child's life is going to be tested by the world. And I, look, I'm not talking about children meaning just this. As a 40-year-old, I'm so glad that my mom has influenced me because even at 40, the world's still going to try to influence me more than my godly family can. I don't care what age you are, thank God for parents that will keep a godly influence on you in a stronger way, in a more influential way than the world has. Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse number 2, let me read this to you quickly. Let me try to get there quickly first. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Whether we want to believe it or not, folks, motherhood is under attack.
Yes, sir.
Hillary Clinton would want to tell us that it takes a village to raise a child. The devil will want to tell you it takes the streets to raise your child. The government has recently come out and stated that they know the best way to raise your child. They can do a better job of it than you can. That's factual. One of the government representatives recently said the government can do a better job at raising your children than you can. But God's plan, God's way, is that a mother has discernment, has determination, and is deliberate, and is the one that the Lord assigned to raise her children. And God give us some godly mamas that keep all the wrong influences away, all the wrong crowd away, all the wrong music away, all the things that are going to hurt the formation and the growth of our children away, and say, "God, I'm giving this child to you, God, and I'm going to do everything I can to be the godly mama that my children need." A little boy in an Easter play captures, if you will, for me how I feel about my mom. This young boy landed the part of Jesus in his play. Man, he was so excited. He was doing well. He was saying all of his lines perfectly until suddenly he forgot the line, "I am the light of the world." I mean, just froze and just forgot that. His mother was in the audience, and she, having practiced the line with him, she knew what he was supposed to say, and so she started panicking him. So, being a mom, she got out of her seat, and she went to the front. She was going to prompt her child, and he looked at her, and she mouthed the words to him, I am the light of the world. The young boy smiled at his mom. He knew he had gotten it. So he turns to the audience and he says, my mother is the light of the world. Now the truth is, I know my mom's not the light of the world. My Bible tells me Jesus is the light of the world. But my mom certainly did brighten up my life and lead me to Jesus Christ. And I thank God often for the time that she invested in me.
Yes, sir.
To keep God shining on me and my life where it needs to be. God give us some godly moms with that same mindset.
Right.
Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Again, that's just not for moms. That's for all of us. That's for dads, aunts, uncles, husbands, wives. God give us discernment. God give us determination. God help us to be deliberate. We need it. Oh, we need it in our society today. We need some godly moms. Hey, you're going to be a godly mom. That means you're not going to be on the cover of the next magazine walking down the aisle at Walmart. All your friends aren't going to be impressed with how cool you are. But you know what? I'd rather have a bunch of moms whose children are impressed and praise their mom for how godly she is and raise their family that way. God, give us some Christians that have that kind of focus in their lives. Let me ask you a question today with heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder if there's someone here today, and I didn't preach on salvation, but you would say, preacher, you talk about being a godly mom, but I'm not a Christian. When I say Christian, I don't mean a denomination. I mean, if I were to ask the question, if you were to die today, do you know for sure, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that heaven is your home and that your sins are forgiven? I'm not asking you if you're a good person or not, because that doesn't get you to heaven. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness. I'm not asking you if you've been a church member, because being a church member never got one person to church, to heaven. I'm not asking you if you do good deeds. I'm not asking you if you wear a certain denominational affiliation. None of that gets anyone to heaven. Do you know in your heart right now that if you were to breathe your last breath, do you know that you'd wake up in heaven? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Christ is your Savior. If you're here today and you say, preacher, I don't know that. Nobody's ever taken the Bible and shown me how I can know for sure that I'm going to heaven, that I'm saved. I wonder today if you'd be honest, I'm the only one looking around, you'd raise your hand and say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure that I'm saved, but I'd like to know. We can take a Bible and we can show you what the Bible says, how you can trust the Lord as your Savior. If that's you today, would you slip your hand up and just put it back down? Anyone at all like that today? Let me ask this question. And whether you raise your hand or not doesn't determine it. God knows. God knows. If you're saved and you know you're on your way to heaven, you've done what the Bible said, you've trusted the Lord. But you know in your life, you've not been very discerning, deliberate, determined in raising your children. Maybe it's too late and your children are out of the house. But we can all start today to be a better influence, a godlier influence. I don't care whether you're a grandma, a mom, a single mom, a grandparent, married or no, I don't care where you're at on the spectrum, a teenager. We need some folks today as Christians that will make the decision today to say, Lord, help me to be discerning. Make wise choices. Think things through. Help me to be determined to do what's right. Help me to be deliberate in what I do. The piano begins to play. The Holy Spirit's spoken to your heart today. Would you come down here to an altar? Would you spend some time talking to the Lord today. He's challenged you in this area of discernment, of being determined, of being deliberate.